Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday. It's January 23rd, 2020. We're coming to you from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and so looking forward to covering the March for Life tomorrow for EWTN Radio and TV. So what will happen tomorrow is in this hour, you will hear the lovely Catherine Hadrew and also myself and Damon Owens coming to you live from the mall, the rally area. She'll be in studio. She'll be tossing back and forth to us, as we say in the business. And then we have this great round, what we call a round robin, going, you know, around with the different reporters, Damon, myself, Catherine, and talking about the issues, interviewing a lot of folks such as yourself or traveling to D.C. and talking about, as Al Cresta always says, the things that matter most. And this is a huge event. Tomorrow, there is going to be even more history made. History is made every year at the March for Life because it gets larger and larger each year, as you know, because I'm sure you watch it on EWTN. But late yesterday afternoon, we did learn, and it has been confirmed from the White House, from the March for Life, and other sources, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, will be the first president to address the March for Life. He will speak at the rally tomorrow, which begins around noon, 12:30, depending on the time, but he will be taking to the rally stage. Very exciting news. He tweeted out, "See you at the rally, big crowds." And we were having our production meeting at EWTN, and we're talking about it and saying, well, does that mean that he's going to be showing up in a video as he did in past years? Is he going to be showing up maybe in a phone call? Or will he be there in person? And then shortly after we said that, we received the confirmation that he would be there in person. Yesterday, as we mentioned, January 22nd, we marked 47 years of legalized abortion in this country. 47 years. Abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. And both of these decisions, that's what they gave us in terms of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. So it is such a huge issue. It affects everything. And I truly believe, as I've been mentioning, and do yourself a favor if you can find this article, I'll see if we can post it on Facebook, but it was in Crisis, on the Crisis Magazine website. It's written by post-abortion research expert Dr. Kevin Burke with Priests for Life. And he's talking about the triggers that are going on in our culture right now because of abortion, because this issue has not gone away despite the other side's effort to say that it's done, it's, you know, passed by the Supreme Court, it's accepted, it's set precedent. It is still the most, I think, talked about issue, even though this happened 47 years ago in our country. So today we're going to do, instead of, well, it's kind of a your regular programming. We'll have a shorter newscast in just a few minutes, but I wanted to spend just a few minutes talking about the interview we're going to run this morning. We've got an elongated interview, lengthy interview with our friend Father Don Calloway, who has a beautiful new book out, and it is so timely. It's entitled Consecration to Saint Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father, and there's a whole consecration plan that he has in this book. He's talking about the importance of getting back to the basics of the family. And it is just crucial, and this is what we need right now in our time. John Paul II said that the world moves through the family. In other words, the way the family goes, the world goes. The family is under attack, and much of that has to do with the attacks from the culture, but also many men feeling that they don't have a voice. Some have stepped back because of fear or concern. Others, because they fear they're going to be attacked, not being understood. Others have really just been confused and overwhelmed and not know what to do, do not understand their role in the family and how important it is, feeling that maybe they'll be viewed negatively, whatever the case. The bottom line is we all have to understand who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, and there is a reason that Jesus was allowed to flourish in a family setting, the Holy Family. Now, we know that we are not perfect, and that there's a lot to live up to in the Holy Family, but they are great examples for us in terms of dealing with struggles, dealing with complications, unexpected things happening, but standing up for what is right, what is true, what is good and beautiful. So this is something I think that's very important and ties directly into the pro-life movement. I'm so glad that when I cover the March for Life each year for EWTN, I'm seeing more and more men involved. And not just, which is awesome, giving their testimony and standing up and talking about regretting lost fatherhood. That is such an important part of the pro-life movement. But I'm also so glad to see dads going down with their sons and their daughters, with their wives, being there with their parishes, being leaders, taking a group on their own. For the men to stand up, I saw some of these signs from the Women's March over the weekend. And one of the signs is just horrific. It said, no uterus, no opinion. So in other words, you know, men, you are not welcome. And you know, this is what happens. Men are like, well, they don't want to hear from us. And so they step back. But deep down, because of the way we are designed, women really do want to hear from men, and they want strong men who are willing to step up. And that's lacking today. So that's why this book is so important, Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father, by our friend, Father Don Calloway. You talk about someone who went through some trials and has an incredible testimony. Been there, done that, bought several t-shirts, as he'll explain. But he is delightful. He was just recently on Women of Grace with Jeanette Bankovic, talking about the role of Our Lady and the role of St. Joseph. St. Joseph, a very powerful saint, and he was a favorite saint of my favorite saint, St. Teresa of Avila. She had a very strong devotion to St. Joseph, and there's a good reason for that. We actually have some quotes in the interview that I recorded with Father for today, so I think you will enjoy it. Consecration to St. Joseph. Ask St. Joseph to pray for his intercession. Ask for his intercession for all the men out there who are being faced with these struggles in our culture, where women are trying to force them out of very important decisions, and encourage men to be more involved in these life issues. So many more are speaking up, and that's such a good thing. And you will be hearing from many of the men on the walk and on the march. I'll be talking with some who are carrying the signs, I regret lost fatherhood. And I think you'll get a lot out of this interview with our dear, dear friend, Father Don Calloway. Again, the book is Consecration to St. Joseph, and you can find it in a number of locations. We'll always have it on our EWTN Religious Catalog, your local Catholic bookstore, AveMariaRadio.net. You can also go to FatherCalloway.com. And the book has a separate website as well, so you'll see that when you hit on the book itself. It is about 7 minutes past the hour. We'll do a quick newscast, and then we'll take a break on a Thursday morning from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where the March for Life takes place tomorrow in the big mass this evening on EWTN at the Shrine of the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception. You don't want to miss that either. For all the details on our programming through this weekend, please go to EWTN.com.
Here's a look at the news. Let's see what's happening on this Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. A major announcement from the White House yesterday, as Mark Mayfield explains, the president will be attending the March for Life on Friday.
This will be the first time that a president has attended the annual pro-life rally in the nation's capital. This isn't the first time, though, that Trump has made history at the event. In 2018, he became the first president to address the March for Life through a video message. Trump touted Friday's event on Twitter, saying, "See you on Friday. Big crowd."
EWTN TV and radio will be providing live coverage tomorrow, as we mentioned, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. For all the information, go to EWTN.com. The Department of Justice is officially supporting Ohio's Down syndrome abortion ban before a federal circuit court. In a friend of the court brief filed with the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, the Department of Justice saying that Ohio's law is constitutional, protects vulnerable individuals and mothers from coercive abortions, and upholds the integrity of the medical profession. Bishop Nelson Perez of Cleveland was appointed Archbishop of Philadelphia yesterday, returning to the local church of his priestly ordination. He succeeds Archbishop Charles Shephew, who was 75 and had led the Philadelphia Archdiocese since 2011. Ordained a priest of the Capuchin Franciscans in 1970, Archbishop Shephew served as Bishop of Rapid City and Archbishop of Denver before his transfer to Philadelphia. Bishop Perez is 58 and was born in Miami to Cuban parents. He grew up in New Jersey and is the first Hispanic bishop to lead the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. World leaders are meeting in Israel this week for the 5th World Holocaust Forum. Israeli President Reuven Rivlin speaking on Wednesday at an official dinner.
This evening, as we remember the victims of the Holocaust and World War II, we also mark the victory of freedom and human dignity.
This year's forum marks the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp. The title of this year's gathering is Remembering the Holocaust, Fighting Anti-Semitism, and it's being held at the Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem. Police are searching for suspects involved in a downtown shooting in Seattle that left one person dead and seven hurt. Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best telling reporters last night the incident was methodical as she described the events leading up to the shooting near the McDonald's.
It's not a random incident. There were multiple people involved. There was a dispute that happened in front of the McDonald's. People pulled out guns. Shots rang out. People ran in various directions. And as you know, we had multiple people that were injured.
The names of those who were shot have not been released, but one woman is confirmed dead, while a 9-year-old boy is in serious condition. Four of the victims are listed in stable, one critical, another was treated and released. Three firefighters from the U.S. are dead after their air tanker crashed while fighting bushfires in Australia. Their plane going down earlier today in a rural area of New South Wales, and there were no survivors. No word on what caused the accident. Scott Pringle tells us a trial involving sexual crimes against Harvey Weinstein continues today. He has a recap of opening statements from yesterday.
Prosecutors called Weinstein a sexual predator who used his Hollywood power to abuse dozens of women, and then they went into graphic details on some of the alleged sexual attacks. But the defense says it plans to show many friendly email exchanges to show the alleged victims continued to show interest in Weinstein after what they feel was consensual sexual relations. Dozens of women have accused Weinstein of sexual crimes, but this case involves allegations Weinstein sexually attacked two women. The trial expected to take more than a month. Six women expected to testify against Weinstein.
Michigan lawmakers remain concerned about the possibility Canada is going to put a nuclear waste dump less than a mile from the shores of Lake Huron. State Rep. Phil Green of Tuscola County in the Thumb area says if Canada chooses that location, it will be an existential threat to the Great Lakes.
We will be having a petition drive here shortly set up so that we can make sure that our voices on this side of the lake is heard.
Congressman Fred Upton of St. Joseph in southwest Michigan, whose district includes two power plants, says the congressional delegation from Michigan has sent a letter to the Canadian Prime Minister urging a different site, but they've yet to get a response. Scientists have been saying for years that cancer isn't one disease, but 100 or more. Phil Hewlett has news on a potential one-size-fits-all therapy that's making headlines.
Researchers at Cardiff University in Wales say they've found new types of T cells that can detect and kill a wide range of cancer, including leukemia and breast, prostate, kidney, bone, skin, and ovarian cancers. They did the research on mice and are hopeful their approach will work on people, too. Their study is published in the journal Nature Immunology.
The president of the Hallmark Channel stepping down after a controversy over a same-sex ad. Last month, the company facing backlash over a decision to pull an advertisement that showed a same-sex couple getting married. On Tuesday, the network announcing Bill Abbott's resignation in a press release but didn't provide a reason for his departure. Hallmark pulling the ad last month after a petition from a conservative group called for it to be removed. The network later reversed that decision. John Klein says it's tax season, and that means it's also scam season.
Experts are warning that crooks range from the high-tech attacking tax preparers with ransomware to the old-school stealing your ID straight from your wallet or purse. Keep your Social Security number closely guarded. Scammers can use that to file a fraudulent tax return before you do. There are also a host of sophisticated scams where criminals will try to trick people into sharing personal information with official-looking emails. It's best to never click on a link unless you're absolutely sure of the sender.
More Catholic Connection coming up. Stay tuned on EWTN.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at VisitingAngels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hello, this is Steve Ray, and I'd like to invite you to an event that takes place only once every 10 years, the Oberammergau Passion Play in Germany. But we have a whole pilgrimage built around it, going through Munich, even going to see Dachau, going to go through Switzerland and down into northern Italy to Milan. This is only once every 10 years. It's going to be great. We already have reservations. We would like you to join us.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? You feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
The Call, a call from God. Father John Trigilio shares his experience.
You know, I first felt a vocation when I was about 7 years old, made my first Holy Communion. I remember distinctly kneeling there at the communion railing, waiting for the priest to come by and bring me communion. And that's the first time I entertained the thought of, I could do this. I would like to be able to give communion to people to celebrate Mass. All through Catholic grade school, I kept thinking about it, praying about it. Finally, when I got to eighth grade, I decided I'd go to the high school seminary. I had a cousin who was a priest. He was a very holy man. He was a positive influence. My pastor was a holy man, loved the Blessed Sacrament and Our Lady. And, of course, Father Levis. Those influences just kept me going through the seminary. And most of all, my mom and dad's encouragement. They never forced me to stay in. They always said, if you leave, there's no disgrace. But whatever you decide to do, we'll back you up. That helped me stay in. Because where I'm at today, the people I serve in the Diocese of Harrisburg, the work I do with Father Levis on EWTN, that would never have happened. If you would have told me back in 1980 that I'd be doing Faith Matters or Web of Faith, I'd say, you know, go see a doctor because somebody hit you on the head. But the fact that I'm here is a sign that God's providence can't be conquered even by other people's influences.
For information on the priesthood or religious life, log on to www.ewtn.com/religious life.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. I've had the opportunity to come to know an amazing priest who's just out there on the front lines and doing such a great job, and he's so down to earth. He has an incredible testimony. If you've never heard the testimony of Father Don Calloway, well, you're missing out. You need to get his book, his first book, and we'll get any book that he's written is excellent, but his story is phenomenal. We've spoken together at numerous conferences, and he's been on the program before, but we really want to dive into this latest book, Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father, because it's more than just a book. It really is an evangelization effort to help men be leaders again. And Father, I can't thank you enough for doing this, especially in this month of January, where we're talking about the life issues and where women and families often feel abandoned by the men in their lives. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. We need St. Joseph today more than ever. He indeed is a great protector of life. He's a defender of life, and I think people need to be aware of that.
So where did the idea come from, the consecration to St. Joseph, the wonders of our spiritual father?
Well, by baptism we're consecrated to our Lord, and many of us have done a devotional or filial consecration to Mary, which is wonderful, but I thought in this time of crisis of the family and of this gender ideology nonsense, we need St. Joseph today, because he's our spiritual father. He's the head of the Holy Family, and we need a consecration program to him. So I looked for one. I couldn't find it. So I said, well, I'm going to do it. So I spent the last 3 years putting it together.
And so is this more than a book? I mean, you talk about the consecration. So you go through that process of consecration. And then what are you asking people to do afterwards?
Basically, to imitate, you know, their spiritual father and his virtues. So, you know, we know that in in life, all children, you know, look like their parents. So St. Joseph is our spiritual father, so we need to imitate him spiritually. We need to learn his virtues, and that's why in the book I go through the litany of St. Joseph, and many of his virtues are there, and I unpack them and how we can be like him.
Okay, so let's go through some of those virtues, and we can start at the beginning, we can start at the middle, but for those who aren't familiar with his virtues in the Litany to St. Joseph, give us a little bit of a tease. We don't want to give the whole book away, but we want to give people an idea of the treasures inside this book.
Yeah, so we talk about him being, you know, Joseph most chaste, Joseph most prudent, courageous, obedient, faithful, patient, you know, these kind of things. And so I go through and I talk about, well, how can we be courageous? You know, there are times when we need courageous Christians. How can we be chaste? You know, like, we could sure use some chastity and modesty and purity in our current climate in this world. So these are some of the things that I unpack in looking to our spiritual father.
In terms of your own relationship, prayerful relationship with St. Joseph, how did that come about for you?
You know, it's interesting, Tinta. I didn't know it at the time, but the first day that I entered a Catholic church, and this was like 27 years ago now, it was on the Solemnity of St. Joseph. And I didn't know that at the time, but I found out later, March 19th. And so he's been there from the beginning for me. And so in seminary, I prayed to him all the time. And then in my, you know, priesthood, I've been ordained 16 years now. He's just a big intercessor for me and a protector for me. I love him.
So what does it mean to consecrate oneself? Explain that to us if people aren't familiar with that term.
Yeah, so basically, it means, the word consecrate means you set something aside for a holy purpose. So, you know, we consecrate ourselves to our Lord, to our Lady. We even consecrate like altars, for example, because they're going to be used for holy mass. Well, when we consecrate ourselves to St. Joseph, we're acknowledging that he has a role and a part in our lives as our spiritual father, that we can entrust, we can consecrate ourselves to him because he can educate us. He can, you know, help form us, just like he did our Lord. It says in the scriptures, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor before God and man under the watchful care of his parents. So if our Lord needed that in his human development, not in his divinity, of course, but in his human growth, well, we need that too. So if we give ourselves to St. Joseph, entrust ourselves to him, he's going to help us tremendously in our spiritual life.
So what about those listening and maybe some Protestant brothers and sisters, because we do have a lot of Protestant brothers and sisters who really haven't grown up with, obviously, the intercession of the saints or devotion to Our Lady or any of the saints. So how would you explain this to them, that this is not idol worship, this is not taking the place of Christ?
Yeah, basically I would just look to the example of Jesus himself. You know, he could have come as a 33-year-old Messiah from the clouds, from the heavens, and with no need of you know, a mother or a father. But he didn't. He chose to come into the world through the virginal womb of Our Lady with St. Joseph as his earthly father, not his biological father, but his earthly father. And if he did that, if he, the God-man did that, and called her mother and called him father and needed them for shelter, for clothing, for food, think about us. You know, we're not God. So if we want to imitate Jesus, let's also imitate this. Let's have a relationship with his mother and his father and make him our mother and our father on a spiritual level. It's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. We're talking with Father Don Calloway, who's an author and a speaker, and he's with the Congregation of Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception of the Most Blessed Mary in this beautiful book, which is pretty new. How long has it been out now, Father?
The official release was January 1st, and it is selling like hotcakes. Actually, it sold out on Amazon. It's not even available on Amazon right now because they didn't get enough in stock. You can get it on other. We have a new website just for the book. It's called consecrationtostjoseph.org. It's available there and many other places. But we're going to have to go to the second printing already.
Wow! And it just came out. So the book is Consecration to St. Joseph: The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. It is published by our friends at Marian Press. So, Father, in terms of why you think this is so popular, isn't this a response to what you're saying, that people are so hungry because a family is in such crisis right now?
Big time, big time. There's so much confusion in the world. I mean, as a priest, I talk to people, I counsel people, and I'm amazed at I have to say, I think the vast majority of people today are just so confused. They don't know what a family is. We've got these ideas of a modern family. And, you know, we've got these two men trying to get married, two women trying to get married, to raise kids. I mean, it's crazy. So we've got to get back to the fundamentals. And I think St. Joseph is a good place to go.
Let's take a quick break, and if you have a question for Father Calloway on his new book, A New Effort, Consecration to St. Joseph, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. More with Father Don Calloway when we come back. Stay tuned.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What do we mean when we ask our Heavenly Father not to lead us into temptation? Is it possible for God to tempt us? It is not, asserts the Catholic Catechism. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. Translating from the Greek verb to a single English verb is the difficulty. The Greek verb means we are asking God not to allow us to take the way that leads us to sin. This petition addresses the battle between flesh and the spirit, imploring the spirit of discernment and truth. With the Holy Spirit, we can discern between trials which are necessary for our growth and temptations which lead to sin and death. Discernment also entails distinguishing between being tempted and consenting to temptation. It unmasks the lie of temptation, which makes the object look desirable, when in fact its fruit is death. God will never allow us to be tempted beyond our strength, says St. Paul. The battle, however, can only be won by prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, and what a great time of year to talk about St. Joseph. This is a month of life, and moving into the March of life, of course. The website is consecrationtostjoseph.org. Our friend, Father Don Calloway, who's a great speaker and storyteller and loves the Lord and the Church. And again, as I mentioned in the beginning of this interview, if you have not heard or read his testimony, wow, the way God got a hold of him and turned things around, incredible. Anyhow, his latest book is Consecration to St. Joseph, and it's really not just a book. It's more about a life change and to really understand the intercession of the saints and the role the powerful saints such as St. Joseph play in our lives and can play in our lives if we call on them. They're there to intercede for us. We don't worship them. Worship is for God alone. But they are our friends, our brothers and sisters, and as it says in Revelation, they are around the throne praying for us. The bowls of incense are the prayers of the saints. And St. Thérèse of Lisieux, for example, said, I want to spend my time in heaven doing good on earth. St. Joseph, pray for us. And Father, what a time to talk about St. Joseph. I know the book was released very recently, and it's really, gosh, it's flying off the shelves, and you have to go into a second printing, as you said earlier. But what a time to talk about St. Joseph. If you look at the situation that he was in with Mary, and what Scripture says, he did not want to embarrass her. He was going to divorce her quietly. Then he had the dream. And of course, we have the whole, we know the whole gospel reflection about the flight to Egypt. But you think about the situation they were in terms of how the world today chooses to solve let's say, an unplanned or an unexpected pregnancy. And there's so much that we can learn just from a pro-life perspective from St. Joseph, don't you think?
Oh, there definitely is. I mean, and, you know, he's really a great defender of life. There's a great quote that I have in the book from St. John Paul II. I don't have it in front of me. It's a little long, but he talks about how we need, and this was during the pontificate of John Paul II, we need in our time to go to St. Joseph and see him as a defender of life, because he saved the life of our Savior. When Herod wanted to kill the Christ child, it was St. Joseph who protected him. And so he has a title that not even Our Lady has. He's called the Savior of the Savior. Now, Savior, wow, in the sense not of God, of course. St. Joseph's not the Messiah or anything, but just in the sense of he saved our Jesus. And it's thanks to that that we have, you know, Christianity. So St. Joseph's role is huge in defending life.
And how about him being, I mean, we don't hear much from him in Scripture in terms of saying anything, but he was there by Mary's side, by our Blessed Mother's side. How about being the quiet strength in the family? Have we lost that with men in our lives, do you think?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you know, today I think so many men have been emasculated by the culture. They don't know what it means to be a man, and they're being told actually not to be one. And they're, you know, the culture is trying to take away masculinity, and then when they see examples of it, they call it toxic. And so we need more men like St. Joseph, true men, gentlemen, and yet at the same time strong and protectors, providers, defenders of the good, the true, and the beautiful. And that's what St. Joseph was.
You do a lot of conferences, especially men's conferences. What are men saying to you, not only about this book, but about what's going on in their lives right now?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, I have to say, I think every diocese has a men's conference now. Those are springing up everywhere. That's the majority of events that I get asked to speak at now. And men are thirsting. They want to, you know, hear the truth. They want to have brothers to fight the battle with. And they're willing to storm the field, but they need that backup. They need that brotherhood. And I love speaking at those conferences, Teresa. I get the guys fired up, and it fires me up. You know, as the saying goes, iron sharpens iron. And I love those events.
You mentioned the confusion. So on the one hand, you talk about the toxic society that we're in, where men are being emasculated. On the other hand, you have these women who say that they're promoting freedom, but are actually promoting what they say they stand against in terms of, you know, chauvinistic and sexism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Andrew has that clip ready yet, but I did want to play from the Golden Globes earlier this month, where Michelle Williams was talking about, oh, you know, I am so glad she was accepting the award. And she said, oh, I'm so glad I had the right to choose. I'm paraphrasing here, but I'll play the clip for you. The right to choose to kill my children because I am where I am today, basically, is what she's saying, because of the right to choose abortion. Let's play the clip, and then I want to get your reaction.
Thank you so much, first of all, to my Fosse Verdon family and to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. When you put this in someone's hands, you're acknowledging the choices that they make as an actor, moment by moment, scene by scene, day by day, but you're also acknowledging the choices they make as a person, the education they pursued, the training they sought, the hours they put in. I'm grateful for the acknowledgement of the choices I've made, and I'm also grateful to have lived at a moment in our society where choice exists, because as women and as girls, things can happen to our bodies that are not our choice. I've tried my very best to live a life of my own making, and not just a series of events that happened to me, but one that I could stand back and look at and recognize my handwriting all over, sometimes messy and scrawling, sometimes careful and precise, but one that I had carved with my own hand. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose. To choose when to have my children and with whom, when I felt supported and able to balance our lives, knowing, as all mothers know, that the scales must and will tip towards our children. Now, I know my choices might look different than yours, but thank God, or whomever you pray to, that we live in a country founded on the principle that I am free to live by my faith and you are free to live by yours. So women, 18 to 118, when it is time to vote, please do so in your own self-interest. It's what men have been doing for years. It's what men have been doing for years, which is why the world looks so much like them. But don't forget, we are the largest voting body in this country. Let's make it look more like us. Tommy and Matilda, I can't wait to come home to you.
There is so much wrong with that, Father. There's so many things that she said are in contradiction to what she is trying to do. Your thoughts?
It breaks my heart because, I mean, we're talking about somebody that is just so confused about the fundamentals. But I think one word, really, one phrase that she said sums up everything, and that was self-interest.
Right, self-interest.
It's selfish. It's such a selfish statement in its entirety that she's making, and so contradictory because it's centered on the self. It consumes itself. I mean, how can you talk about abortion and God in the same, you know, statement? How can you talk about, you know, wanting to promote women and yet promoting abortion, which is basically men using women for their own pleasure and then discarding, you know, a child? I mean, you're not promoting true womanhood. You're actually encouraging women to continue to be victims. Or to be used and seen as objects for the sexual gratification of lustful men. I mean, you could do a doctoral dissertation unpacking the serious flaws of just about everything she said.
More with Father Don Calloway when we come back. Stay tuned.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. Did you know that scientific progress owes a debt to Catholic thinking? The crux of scientific discovery is the scientific method, whereby hypotheses are formulated by understanding the order of the universe. If the universe was not ordered but random, as many atheists claim, no logical hypothesis could be derived and no valid experiment could be devised to test the hypothesis. Thus, the Catholic view of a rule-driven universe allows scientific discovery. Today, tell a friend that you appreciate how Catholic thinking has empowered centuries of scientific discovery to improve our lives. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at avemariaradio.net. Under Resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
We're talking with Father Don Calloway, doing an extended interview with him because of the importance at this time of year and this month of life and just the craziness in our world today. And how we've got it all backwards and upside down and inside out. ConsecrationToSaintJoseph.org, that's the actual website. There is a book, and there's a great question and answer section. Father, you already explained what it means to consecrate yourself to St. Joseph. The next question in the Q&A is really important. You say if you've already consecrated yourself to the Virgin Mary, you can be consecrated to St. Joseph as well, correct?
Yes, and that is, you know, a lot of people are asking that because, you know, they've never really thought about consecration to St. Joseph, and so they think, well, can I do that? I've already given myself to Mary. And the reason you can give yourself to St. Joseph specifically is because he's your spiritual father. So God doesn't want any of us to be a members of a one-parent spiritual family. So Mary is our spiritual mother. St. Joseph is our spiritual father. Let's be members of the Holy Family. Let's give ourselves entirely to our spiritual parents, because a mother has her role to teach the children, and a father has his role, and we need both of them. And that's why I think this consecration is so important, because in society at large, we need to get back to that. We need to realize what a family is, and we need to stop this absent father stuff and fatherless generations and bring in the fundamentals again. We've forgotten these things. We've got to get them back, Teresa.
Amen. And so the steps to this, and I want to go through this with people if they're just tuning in, the program overview, it's similar to the method employed by St. Louis de Montfort in the Marian consecration, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So it lasts a month, and you really get to cover the material really well. So it's not too short, but it's not too long.
And it takes 33 days?
That's right. Yeah, 33 days. And you're doing the readings, the prayers. It takes about, if you do it as an individual, it'll take you about 15 to 20 minutes a day at the most. You can do it as a group program, and that should last once a week. You meet as a group, probably for an hour and a half.
Do you think it's better to do it on your own or in a group? I would think a group would be helpful because you've got accountability.
Yeah, I mean, there's benefits to both. Some people's schedules, it can be a little difficult to do in a group if they can't make the meetings. But I actually tell people, look, do the group, but also, you know, when you're at home doing the readings on your own during the rest of the days of the week, unpack it in a deep way so that when you go to the group meetings, it makes for a lively discussion and interaction, and I think it's got a lot of potential for that.
And again, the website is consecrationtostjoseph.org, and really you go through everything step by step. I mean, obviously this is also in the book, but this is a great tool to have along with it. When you were coming up with this, were you thinking more of a personal effort or group or both, Father?
You know, I was actually thinking about the entire church because, you know, we've never had, for example, a year of St. Joseph. In 2,000 years of Christianity, we've never had that
wow.
as a church. So now's the time. And we've had Marian years, year of prayer, year of mercy, year of this and that. But now we need St. Joseph. And so I actually sent a letter to the Pope making him aware of this and begging him to do it. I sent them to various bishops, and some bishops have responded. The Bishop of Charlotte, North Carolina, has just declared a year of St. Joseph for his diocese, which
oh,
is
cool.
fantastic. Yeah, so if we can do this, keep the ball rolling and get momentum, we can have this go global in the church.
Well, my favorite saint, St. Teresa of Avila, had a huge devotion to St. Joseph. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
Oh, she did. Actually, I quote her a lot in my book. She loved St. Joseph. She was probably one of the greatest promoters of devotion to St. Joseph.
What did she say about him? Why was he important to her?
Well, she said that, you know, certain saints, she said, have the ability to help us in certain areas. They have a specialty, so to speak. But St. Joseph, he covers everything because he's our spiritual father. And she encouraged those who listened to her to put this challenge to a test. So she said, basically, I dare you to test St. Joseph's intercessory power. Put it to the test and watch what happens. And so it's a challenge. I actually mentioned that in my book.
She did that. I love the way she prayed, though. She was very direct. And when she wanted help from somebody, she had no problem asking for it. So I think we should employ some of her actions because she was another powerful saint. And, of course, St. Teresa of Avila, the first female doctor of the church. The website is consecrationtostjoseph.org. And you also have a section here, which is really cool, on art and gifts featuring St. Joseph. I did not know, and this is something I just learned this morning, that St. Joseph was also called the terror of demons. Why is that?
Yeah, because, you know, after Our Lady, they feared him the most of all the saints because, you know, God obeyed him. God grew under his watchful care, you know, in the human nature of Jesus Christ. I mean, we're talking about a guy who just one glance of his eyes is going to send all hell into great trembling because of the power and the authority that God gave to St. Joseph. And so that's one of my favorite titles, too. And I actually had commissioned art painted on that. Unique images that you'll never find anywhere else in the world, I guarantee it, in the book. And on the website, you can actually purchase them as canvas images. My favorite one is called The Immaculata and the Terror of Demons, where Our Lady is shown standing on the serpent, and St. Joseph is next to her, looking at her so lovingly with an axe in his hand, like he's just going to cut that snake up. It's awesome.
I just did a search while we were chatting, and I found this beautiful quote from St. Pope John Paul II. You mentioned this earlier. This is precisely the mystery of the Incarnation in which Joseph of Nazareth shared, like no other human being except Mary, the mother of the incarnate Word. He shared in it with her. He was involved in the same salvific event. He was a guardian of the same love, the power of which the Eternal Father destined us to be his sons through Jesus Christ. Wow.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, and St. John Paul, too, had a great devotion to St. Joseph. He mentioned him a lot. He wrote an official document on him and promoted him all over the place.
St. Teresa of Avila said, I took for my patron and Lord the glorious St. Joseph. I cannot call to mind that I have ever asked him at any time for anything he has not granted. I am filled with amazement when I consider the great favors God has given me through this blessed saint.
Wow. That says it all right there. I mean, and she's a doctor of the church, as you said. I mean, her teaching has perennial, you know, value. And so if she's saying that, let's imitate her. Let's go to St. Joseph.
Father, in all the craziness that's in the world right now, and by the way, if you're just joining us, we were talking with Father Don Calloway from the Marian Fathers on his new book, which is selling out, basically. They're moving into their second printing already. The website is consecrationtostjoseph.org. The devil is the author of confusion, and we started out the conversation this morning about a half an hour ago, and you were talking about so much confusion. We need to get back to basics, but we need to remember in all of the confusion and all of the evil that the power of God is not only still there, but I believe Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. You know, we don't produce saints when things are going terrifically smoothly for us, right? So this is a real time, as you said earlier, for iron to sharpen iron.
It is. It is. It's a tough time for sure, but there is so much opportunity on a daily basis to grow in virtue and to, you know, see yourself clinging to Christ and the example of the saints and the sacraments and the teachings of the church, precisely because there is so much confusion. There's such a mess in the world. I mean, I'm shocked. I talk to so many people on a daily basis, and, you know, and I presume that these people just know the basics, but then they actually will say to me, well, Father, you know, I'm not sure what my gender is. And I'm like, what? I'm like,
yeah.
What are you talking about here? I'm like, and you're an educated person. Who duped you? Who suckered you and to believe in this nonsense? And these are people that are running businesses and people in charge of major things in the world. And boy, we need to get back to Christianity 101, anthropology 101, family 101, manhood 101 in our times, because we got serious problems today.
Yeah, we are allowing ourselves, as you said, who duped you? You're allowing yourselves to be influenced and seeped in the culture so much you've forgotten the basics of who we are, male and female, made in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I really believe, you know, there have been prophecies about this. There have been mystics who have talked about it, that now is the time of St. Joseph. When you've got disorder in a house, you need the Father to restore that order in a loving way, yes, with great compassion, yes. But it takes a father to restore order when there is chaos, confusion, and a mess. A good father doesn't create a mess, by the way.
Hmm.
A good father cleans up the mess and restores order and structure, because that's how good children become virtuous, is by giving them a structured life. And so that's why I think we need St. Joseph.
Speaking of good fathers and not creating a mess, and you know these statistics just as well as I do, and they're really incredible. The statistics showing that if a father is going to Mass, the percentage of children being faithful in going to church is much higher. Now, obviously, it's important for both parents to be in sync with their faith and to practice their faith at home, because we know that the parents are the primary educators in terms of their children. But moms, great, we need them faithful, but the numbers show that it's the fathers that have a bigger influence on religious practices. What do you think is the reason for that?
Yep. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, statistics have shown this. I think the reason is because, you know, inherently, the children look to the father to see what he's doing. I mean, look at what our Lord himself says. Jesus in the New Testament says, a son can only do what he sees his father doing. And so Jesus is talking about his heavenly father, of course, but that would have applied to St. Joseph as well when our Lord was growing up. Well, that's an axiom of truth for the whole world, for human society. So whether it's a little girl or a little boy, you look to your father because that's the man who, you know, is the strength of the family, even on a physical level. So what is he doing? So you'll imitate that. And that's what these studies have shown, that, yes, we need the mother to do these things, of course, absolutely. Both are necessary. But when the father is the one who takes the initiative and takes the family to church, who does the prayers, whether it's the blessing of the food or praying the rosary or whatever it is, that has staying power. It sticks. So that when those kids leave, there's something there that's deep in them that they'll want to continue that way of life. And boy, do we need that today.
And don't you think that is inherent in our design in terms of the role God had for the father of the family, for the mother of the family, and why the father is intrinsically connected that way spiritually to the way of the family? I mean, it's our design, is it not?
Oh, it is. And that's why the devil wants to jack it up. That's why he wants to remove the role of men in the family. And even, you know, you could say in the church. I mean, we call priests fathers. So if you can get those guys confused and messed up, then all their children are going to be confused and messed up. So we got a real attack on fatherhood today. And that's why we need the fatherhood specifically of St. Joseph. And I mean, I think people are waking up to this. I think, you know, when I sent the manuscript to cardinals and bishops and people around, and yourself, remember, I sent the manuscript to you and people were like, wow, Father, this is so timely.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what we need today because this is going to hit the nail on the head. You're getting to the core issues here that we need to take a serious look at.
Well, great discussion, Father. Thank you so much for this amazing work, this book, and this effort, the consecration to St. Joseph. Now, the second printing, it's in the process right now?
Yeah, so we've still got tons from the first one, but the problem is, like, Amazon didn't get enough, so you can't get it from them right now. But if you go to consecrationtostjoseph.org, you get it, and it'll come in the mail in a couple of days. But they're flying off the shelf, so yeah, we're going to the second printing already.
Well, congratulations.
God.
Praise God. That's great. ConsecrationToSt.Joseph.org, and the book is just beautiful. Really, it is. And you can purchase it from that website as well as Father Don Calloway's website. And boy, do we need this now. Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father, from Father Don Calloway, published by our friends at Miriam Press. And Father, thanks so much. Happy New Year, and we will talk soon. We'll follow up with you to see how this is going toward the middle of the year, and I just hope it continues to go like crazy. Thanks so much.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
God bless you, and we'll be right back on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? You feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray, and I'd like to invite you to an event that takes place only once every 10 years, the Oberammergau Passion Play in Germany. But we have a whole pilgrimage built around it, going through Munich, even going to see Dachau, going to go through Switzerland and down into northern Italy to Milan. This is only once every 10 years. It's going to be great. We already have reservations. We would like you to join us.
To learn more about your Ave Maria radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray here. My newest book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, help you stand strong against a culture no longer on your side, to identify all of the forces trying to misshape your child, to help you stand strong against those forces, to resist them, to recognize them, so you can raise the kind of kid you wish to raise. You can get the new book at AveMariaRadio.net. That is AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot?
Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
If you have any questions about a program you heard today or maybe yesterday, or if you have a question about something we do here at Catholic Radio, just give us a little note at EWTN.com or AveMariaRadio.net. You can also find out some background information about the various programs. You can get updates on our radio and TV schedules. It's all there for you online. And remember, we are here to keep you connected to your Catholic faith. And as my dear, dear friend and Catholic Radio colleague, Al Cresta always says, to help you remember to look at everything in our lives through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of the Church. And remember what I always say, something I heard years ago, that our Catholic faith has to be everything to us. It has to come first. I'll never forget that. I heard a priest give a homily, and this was during one of the most contentious elections recently, and he said, our Catholic faith shouldn't be a factor when we go into the voting booth. It should be the factor. Because, again, we have to look at everything through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Hope you enjoyed the program today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.